for goodwill toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Just a reminder that Tuesday is Valentine's Day, and that's for those of you that tend to forget things like me sometimes. And Valentine's Day is a day when we see lots of red and pink hearts around. And I started thinking about the heart shape, you know, and what it means, and it's truly a symbol that's world known. You know, in any language, you recognize a heart. And you know that it means a connection between two people or between others. You know, it's a symbol of love. Yet anatomically, you know, if you think about the heart, it doesn't quite look like that. It's not quite as pretty. It's got, you know, valves and lobes and, you know, arteries and veins sticking out. But the heart shape is just simple and beautiful. And we use it in all different kinds of ways. I mean, you know, we'll see cards that are Valentine shaped, and on Valentine's Day we'll see boxes of candy that are shaped in that, the heart shape. You know, sometimes we might see a necklace that is heart shaped, or maybe it's a pendant that's been passed down through the family that you open it up and it has a picture in it and it's heart shaped. Or maybe it's the red construction that paper that's been cut out by little scissors and small hands that, you know, or heart-shaped, or even the pictures that we've put on our refrigerator that's drawn with crayons and has hearts all over it. But it's just an image that comes to us. And thinking about that image, I was reminded of an image that popped in my head of a father and a four-year-old daughter and a little girl. The little girl's name was Kimmy. And his wife, her mother, had passed away at too young of an age from breast cancer. But as we visited, Kimmy sat there kind of quietly and at one point reached in her pocket and pulled out a tiny little puffed heart. It was kind of velvety and it looked handmade, and she just pulled it out and held on to it. And you could tell it was precious to her. And the father quickly explained, he said, it's a feely heart, that she never leaves anywhere without it. It's something that she holds on to. It. A friend had given it to her. And it actually came from Bridges, which is a bereavement center that works with children who are dealing with the death of a loved one. And back 30 years ago, when Bridges started, they would meet with children, and they had a larger velvet heart that was kind of puffed and soft and everything that they would hand a child, and the child could hold that, and it was kind of a security as they talked about the one that they had loved that had passed away, and it meant so much to them. And at some point, someone got smart and said, instead of just the large heart that we keep here for when we're meeting with the kids, why not make some small ones that would fit into a child's pocket that they could take with them and pull out at any point? And so some volunteers started making them, and they made them out of soft robes or maybe a soft shirt, or back then some of those velour and velvety track suits that we all used to wear way back when. And they were just these tiny little hearts. And Bridges, since that time, has made and given over 100,000 of those tiny hearts. Because there's something special about when we give a heart. You know, for the last couple of weeks, We've been doing a sermon series called Living a Life Worthy of the Lord. And in it, I've been talking quite a bit about giving. And we started out talking about tithing, which really is, you know, it's giving to God, but in honesty, it's really returning to God what belongs to God. But also, God expects us to give as well. And giving is connected with the heart. You know, often people think that giving is just a financial issue, but it's so much more than that. It's so much more than finances because it really is giving of yourself. And so it's a heart issue. It comes from a giving spirit that just kind of flows through us and goes to all parts of our lives. And when we have a hard heart, that impacts everything. That impacts our compassion and our forgiveness and our understanding and our patience and mercy and everything. And so it makes such a difference. And so we're going to be talking today about the heart, but talking about how giving impacts the heart and talking about what Scripture has to say about giving. You see, because this is an important topic to the Lord. In the Bible, there are 500 scriptures about prayer, and there's 500 scriptures about faith, but there's over 2,000 scriptures about how we handle our money and possessions, because God wants to make sure we get it right. And when Jesus taught, he often taught with parables, and of the 38 parables that he taught, 16 of them had to do with giving and handling our possessions and money. So this is an important topic for the Lord because he wanted us to get it straight because he knew that it's more than just finances. You know, God told us from the very beginning and gave us instructions. And in fact, the passage that Deborah read today is from Deuteronomy 15, but there's lots of passages throughout the Bible. But in Deuteronomy 15:7, it says, "If there is a poor man among your brothers, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your poor brother. Rather, be open-handed." You see, your heart impacts everything. And certainly it impacts everything for your body. You know, how your heart is can make your hand just kind of curl up and become tight-fisted. And it even warns also afterwards about not having wicked thoughts because it impacts your thoughts as well. Because when we're selfish or hard-hearted, then we start thinking those thoughts like, well, I've got to hang on to this. I don't need it now, but I may need it someday. Or, you know, I'm too busy to give my time to share, or, you know, this is mine. I'm not about to share it with anyone else. And when we think of a thought where it's really a detriment, it's to our own selves because we miss out. Because we're holding things tight, we're missing out on what God's giving. Because we have a loving, giving God that he wants to pour blessings on all people. And we have to have open hands to receive what God is giving. And if we're trying to tightly hang on to things, then we miss out on all that he wants to give us. You know, it goes on, and in verse 10 it says, "Give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to." You know, look at that. It's talking about when you give generously, then that way the Lord can come back and he wants to bless you. And you may give in one way, but he may come back and bless you in so many other ways. You know, it says he will bless you in your work and in all that your hand does and what everything you put your hand to. But notice also it talks about to give generously, but not to do it with a grudging heart. Grudging heart, that doesn't sound too good, does it? I think it means not to hold a grudge. Actually, in the King James Version, it talks about a grieving heart. You know, that's kind of like a selfish heart would keep you from giving. But a grieving heart would be after the fact, where you're grieving that you did give. And God doesn't want us to have a grieving heart. You know, actually, I intended to bring some cash with me today, and I didn't bring any cash, but you know, wanted to kind of show you something about a grieving heart with cash. So, does anybody have any cash for me? Anyone? Yeah, I just need some cash if you don't mind. You know, I'll take it from several sources. Thank you. Oh, EC gave me 100. Well, thank you. This is, Eddie's probably given me all he has. Well, thank you, Tanya. Well, thank you. This is the most generous church ever. Okay. But I've got to ask EC, since he gave the $100 bill. Martha must have let him have it today, right? Or maybe not. Did it grieve you, EC, to give this to me? Do you hear that? It was my money anyway. So, Tanya and Eddie, I'll give you your money back, unless you want to put it in the offering plate that you can do later. But I really did give EC money. And you know what? I'll put it right there. How about that? I gave this to EC beforehand, so it didn't bother him to give it back to me. He doesn't really have a grieving heart because he knows it's mine. So thank you. But does that tell you anything when you think about that everything you have is from God? And whether we have a grieving heart giving back to God. Just something to think about. And just kind of curious, you know, why did God invent giving in the first place? What do you think? Do you think it's because he needs your help to support his work? Because he's the creator of the universe. He's Lord God Almighty. You know, he doesn't need our help. You know, everything belongs to him. And in fact, Scripture is very clear about this. I mean, over and over it lists things. In Psalm 24:1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." In Leviticus 25:23, it talks about, God says, "The land belongs to me." In Haggai 2:8, it says, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine." In Psalm 50, verse 10, it says, "Every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills." That's more cattle than in Clay County. And God owns it all. So he doesn't need us to give. But what he knows is that we need to give. We need it for our hearts. We need it for our heart health. And he knows that we need that. And he wants us not to have a selfish or grudging heart. He wants us to have a cheerful heart when we give. And our attitude makes all the difference. And in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, it says, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." All right, I actually had somebody ask me one time, and, you know, it's one thing to think it, but one thing to actually ask a preacher, but said, "Okay, if I'm not happy about giving to God, then wouldn't it be better if I just didn't give?" I kind of responded and said, you know, what you give is between you and God. You know, we already know God doesn't need anything. You know, he wants you to be obedient, but, you know, I guess really he wants you to do it cheerfully, and he wants you to have the right heart. You know, clearly in Scripture he talks about being faithful in giving our tithe, our first tenth, and in particularly in Malachi he warns us that we are robbing him when we don't. give our tithes and offerings. And he warns us about robbing him and warns us that a curse is on us because of that. And even in James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, anyone then who knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it sins. But you know what? When it comes down with it, I think God would rather us do it with a loving heart. And if we can't, I don't know. I've had my grandchildren here this past weekend, and they're 4, 2, and 8 months, 9 months. The younger one you don't have to worry about. It's the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old. And every once in a while a toy would be taken away, and, you have to say, no, get the toy back. And, it's a different attitude when the toy goes back by saying, there's your toy, versus, hey, Bubba, I'm sorry. I love you. Here's the toy. Can we play together? When they do it like that, it's like, I'll go buy you as many toys as you want because you love that attitude. And I think about us passing the offering plate, and how do you think it makes God feel if the offering plate goes by and you throw it in there? There it goes, Lord. I have a feeling he'd kind of like to kick it back out at you and just say, just forget it, I'm not interested if that's how it's going to be. Hold tight to that little bit you have, and I'll go bless somebody else. Because he wants us to do it with the right heart. And I've heard two different testimonies in my life, and, as far as people giving. One is a testimony of fear that says, I've got to hold on to this. We can't afford to give. And the other one is a testimony of trust that just says, hey, we trusted and God was amazing. And, we're so blessed. Because I don't think that it's necessarily selfishness sometimes that keeps people from giving. I think it can be fear. Just fear of, how am I going to handle this? Especially if you didn't grow up tithing. If you grew up tithing and you've seen God moving your life all your life when you gave to him and to others, and you enjoyed that excitement of being able to give something to someone and how much fun that is. If you didn't grow up with that, then it's got to be a scary thing for all of a sudden somebody says, you're really supposed to be giving this much. So I can see how that can be frightening. And parents, and grandparents too. We need to be teaching our children and youth at an early age. Because that's one of the best ways to let them know that they can trust God, is to teach them to trust him in the first place in giving, and to watch how God moves in their lives. But I know as adults, sometimes we have that whisper of doubt that just kind of whispers in and says, how am I going to handle this? Is there going to be enough money? Is God going to be big enough? Is God going to be faithful enough for all that I need? What God really wants is for us to have a grateful heart. And when we stop and look at all that the Lord's done for us, all the blessings he's poured out on us, just thinking about life and breath and freedom and opportunities and family and friends and everything that God has done for us should make us overwhelmed with gratefulness, so that we love the Lord so much that we do want to trust him. We do want to give him. In the first place, we know that he's God and he's given us everything up to this point. Why would he stop now? And what he really wants to do is he wants us to have the joy of sharing in what he's doing. And so he gives us blessings, but it's a chance to pass those blessings through us so that we have an opportunity to give to the poor or give to others and to make a difference in their lives. And so it's a blessing to us so that we might be a blessing to others. And sometimes I think we have no idea how that blessing just keeps going, because sometimes you receive a blessing and that makes you want to give a blessing, and it just continues and continues. And God multiplies, just like we talked about last week. that God has an incredible way of multiplying things. In fact, I think about those volunteers for Bridges. You know, as they would make those little hearts out of scrap material. You know, they probably had no idea how incredibly special those hearts could be, or how touching they could be to someone, to be able to hold on to that and feel it. And yet, there's stories about many of those children who were given hearts that they grew in compassion so much after they dealt with their grief that they were able to watch the pain and the need in others, and they had incredible compassion for other people. And some of them would often give their feely heart to someone else. A young girl gave hers to her father when her parents divorced. And a little boy gave his to his teacher when her little boy died. You know, giving just continues if we get it going. You know, and what I think we really need to understand is that God has given us a heart to love and care for others. And it can be the most amazing thing. And God just wants to move in our lives. And yet sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid to let go of our hearts, but we're afraid to let go of other things. And yet if we really trust Him, He has a way of expanding everything, and certainly expanding our hearts. It all begins with giving, and it's a heart issue. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank You for the way that You have given to each and every one of us. And Lord, help us to really have eyes wide open to recognize the many gifts that have touched us in so many ways. Thank You for who You are, and that You give us an opportunity to draw closer to You, and forgive us for the times where we've held on to things and it's almost like being chained and not having full freedom to live life until we trust You and give freely of ourselves. And Lord, there are so many that need our assistance and our help. Help us to recognize those needs. And when we hear that little voice that whispers to us when You're telling us to pay attention to that need, help us to recognize it and do it in a way that honors You. Not with a selfish heart or a grudging heart, but as a grateful and generous heart, knowing that that is what You want us to do. Lord, we do want to be Your people. And so we pray that in everything we think, say, and do, that we might honor You. All to Your glory. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn today is in the United Methodist Hymnal. It's number 408, The Gift of Love. So if you'll stand as we join in singing to the Lord. Are they? So as you go from here today, may you go with eyes wide open to see all that God's doing around you and see where He may be calling you to give. It's a heart issue. And may we live with our hearts and love God with our hearts and share with others. Blessings on each of you. Amen.